Chapter 3. York. When tourists visit a place or a country alone, I think they see more. They watch and observe things more closely because they're not distracted by their companions. It can sometimes be lonely, but most of the time they experience more, meet more people, and make new friends. Like the weekend I was in York. I didn't know anyone in York, but I really wanted to go there. It's only 2 hours by train from London, so when Pablo went home after the New Year, I decided to go to York on my own for a weekend. On Friday afternoon, I went to King's Cross Railway Station by underground. It's the most crowded place on the planet on Friday afternoons. On the train, I got out my guidebook and found the section on York. I wanted to read the information about this famous historical city again before I arrived. I read that King George VI, the father of Queen Elizabeth II, once said that the history of York was the history of England. The Romans were in York, as were the Saxons and the Normans, but I wanted to go to York because the Vikings had been there. I still remembered the cartoons I used to watch when I was a child. I enjoyed the images of the Viking invaders, who were fierce and strong, with big beards and horns on their helmets. The real history of the Vikings was sometimes violent and terrible, but I also think that these men were brave to go to sea in their longboats more than 1,000 years ago to look for new lands and adventure. My guidebook said that the Vikings built the city they called Jorvik, or York, as it is called today. They were in York for almost 100 years after that, from 866 AD to 954 AD. I read in my guidebook about the museums in York. It said, "The Jorvik Viking Centre is unique. Archaeologists found part of the Viking town preserved in mud under the modern town. Experts have recreated the sights, sounds, and even the smells of Jorvik in 948 AD. The Scottish lady next to me saw I was reading a guidebook and asked, "Have you been to York before?" "No, this is my first visit, and I'm really looking forward to it," I told her. "Well, I think you'll like it. I remember when I went there with my daughters. They were about 14 and 17 at the time. My elder daughter was learning about York in her history classes. We went to York Minster, the famous cathedral, climbed up to the top of the tower, and then walked round the city walls. I remember that my younger daughter loved the Jorvik Viking Centre, especially the toilets." "What do you mean, the toilets?" "You'll see," she smiled. "I don't want to ruin the surprise." "Do you live in York now?" I asked her. "No, I go there to visit an old school friend occasionally," she answered. "Barbara and I have been friends since 1950. She has a small B&B in the city centre, which she has owned for the last 20 years. "What's a B&B?" I asked. "It's a type of guest house. B&B stands for bed and breakfast. She has 4 rooms and cooks breakfast for the people who stay there. Are you looking for somewhere to stay?" "Yes, but I don't have very much money to spend," I told her. "I think it's quite cheap," she said. "I'll write down the email address and telephone number, and you can call her now or book a room online." I found a piece of paper and a pen, and she wrote down all the details. I was lucky to meet that lady on the train. I called immediately and booked the last available single room. Green Guest House was cheap, and Mrs. Green was very kind. It was like staying with my own grandmother. At 8 a.m., she cooked me a traditional English breakfast of bacon, sausages, fried eggs, tomatoes, mushrooms, and toast. It was enormous. It's lucky that most British people only eat this huge breakfast occasionally. If not, they would all be really fat and late for work. After breakfast, she gave me a map of the city and showed me how to get to the Jorvik Viking Center. I decided to go there later in the morning. I bought my ticket at the door, and then Vikings, actors of course, took a group of us down the stairs into their town. We walked down, deep under the ground, to the level of York's streets as they had been in 948 AD, before they were buried under all the layers of the next 1,000 years. We got on a little car, which took us back in time, closer and closer to the world of the Vikings in York. We travelled down a corridor, past models of people from the 1960s. Next, we saw models of soldiers from the Second World War, 1939 to 1945, and then the First World War, 1914 to 1918. After that, there were people from the 1800s, the 1600s, further and further into the past. Finally, we arrived at Coppergate Market in October 948 AD. There were the old streets and scenes, and there was a soundtrack of people shouting, laughing and talking. Our little car stopped, and we watched the animals, the people in the market, and the children playing. There was even a strange smell. I can't describe it. It was different, a smell from another time. After the market, we went down a hill and past a river where there was a boat and two fishermen. The fishermen were sitting on the bank next to their boat, and they were telling a little Viking boy about their adventures. He was sitting on the ground and was clearly fascinated by their stories. "I tell you, Toki, we've had a rough sea for the last few days. Ivar nearly drowned," said one of the fishermen, who was holding a net. "That's not true. I was only trying to see the fish in the water," said the other fisherman, laughing. "There was Ivar, with his head under the water. We pulled him into the boat by his boots," exclaimed the first man. "Did I tell you about the time?" Our car continued on its journey. We stopped outside a house where a Viking family was making dinner. There were herbs drying above the fire and animal skins on the bed. Chickens were running around the house and you could smell the food. You could also smell the toilet. So this was what the lady on the train was talking about. There was a toilet with the original seat behind the house, with pieces of old clothes next to it for toilet paper. There was even a model of an old man on the toilet. The visit was incredible, because it wasn't just old things in a museum, it was the recreation of a real town. The characters had Viking names like Eric Bloodaxe and Ivar the Boneless. With the sounds and the smells, I felt I really was in a Viking town. There should be more exhibitions like that. Learning history would be much more interesting. When I left the Jorvik Viking Center, it was a lovely sunny day. It was cold, but the sky was blue, and I decided to go for a walk around the city. The weather in Britain is generally so bad that when there's a nice day, you really appreciate it. There were lots of people in the streets. The people who lived in York were walking quickly, but the tourists, like me, were walking slowly, looking at the old city walls and the buildings, and sometimes stopping on corners to look at their maps. On one corner, someone stopped me. "Excuse me," he said, "could you tell me the way to York Minster?" I laughed and explained to him that I was also visiting York, but that I had a map if he wanted to look. "Are you here on holiday?" I asked him. "Yeah, I'm from Chicago, and I came to Britain for Christmas to see my cousin," he said. "Where are you from?" "I'm from Madrid. I'm Spanish, but my father's American," I answered. "He's from New York." "Nice to meet you. I'm John," he said. "I'm Antonio. Pleased to meet you." We both looked at the map and decided to go to see York Minster together. York Minster is the biggest Gothic cathedral in Northern Europe, and it is very impressive. It took more than 250 years to build and was finished in the 1470s. The stained glass windows tell a story. The Great East Window is the largest medieval stained glass window in Britain and shows the beginning and end of the world. We climbed up to the top of the central tower and there we could see the whole of York. The city centre is quite compact and is still enclosed by the old walls like a villa in Spain. I got my guidebook out and we both looked at the map. We tried to name the places we could see below us. It was fun spending time with John. He was so surprised and impressed by everything he saw. It was his first trip to Britain, and he wanted to see and do everything. Everywhere we went, he wanted to know if there were ghosts. We visited the Castle Museum, and the guide told us that at night, people sometimes hear the ghosts of former prisoners, crying and pulling their chains across the stone floors. John wanted to stay the night in the castle and listen to the ghosts. Fortunately, I persuaded him that his hotel room would be much more comfortable. The next day, we decided to take the same train to London. On the train, we exchanged email addresses, and we still write from time to time. He says I must go and visit him in Chicago when I go to the States. "In Chicago, we've got gangsters, not ghosts," he laughed. "They're even more frightening."